My name's Dana Pretzer. This is Scared Monkeys Radio. We'll be right back. A very heartfelt story. And when we do stories on the program here, when a loved one has been lost, murdered, has passed on, and there are still no answers as to why, we'll cover them and try and get as many questions answered and maybe as many tips called in as we can, or at least try to. I want to tell you a little bit about Sergeant Patrick Rust. Sergeant Patrick Rust, and there's a link on the website to check out this webpage, so make sure you click on the show notes to check out Patrick Rust's webpage, was assigned to the 10th Mountain Division, headquartered at Fort Drum, New York. He picked up a rifle and defended our way of life against terrorists who want to destroy it. He was our soldier, his mom and dad's son, our friend and neighbor, Central New York's very own defender. He survived deployments to Iraq and Afghanistan, only to die mysteriously right here in his own country, not far from where he was born. Patrick went missing from a bar, ironically named Clueless, in Watertown, New York, on March 16, 2007. 6 months later, his remains were found in a farmer's field over 7 miles from the bar and the apartment he was staying at in Waterton. It is unknown how he got to that location. He didn't have a car, and it's doubtful he would have walked there on a cold March night. He wasn't robbed, and his remains showed no trauma. His cause and manner of death remains undetermined. I thought we'd bring on Judith Rust, who is Patrick's mom, to the show tonight and talk a little bit about her son and see what we can do here at Scared Monkeys to try and get some tips and some help to solve and get answers as to why Patrick lost his life. Judith, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
And as I do with every interview that I have with a family member of a lost loved one or a missing person, my condolences to you and your family. Your son certainly is a hero and should be thought of for his service to the country and for just being someone on earth who was making something of himself. Can you tell us about your son? We'll get into the circumstances here in a minute, but tell us a bit about Patrick.
Patrick joined the Army in May 2002, and he really loved the Army. He was going to make a career out of it. He was a real good guy. He was no problem. He never gave anybody a problem, and other people in the Army really loved him. They said that he was advancing real fast. And, in fact, he was going to be relocated to Washington to get higher ranked.
Mm-hmm. And so he was going to be promoted then?
Yes, he was going. He just got relocated to Washington. He was supposed to go in June.
Now, every mother, every father who has a son or daughter in the military, obviously, Judith worries, good grief. Patrick was in Afghanistan and Iraq. I don't think you can find two more dangerous places than that. Tell us a little bit about his deployments to Iraq and Afghanistan. Were you in contact with him as much as you could be?
Yep, he was in Iraq from November 4th until April 22nd. And then he became stationed at Fort Drum. And he left for Afghanistan in February 2006 and came back in January 2007. When he got back from Afghanistan, he decided he wasn't going to stay on the base anymore. He was going to move off the base. In fact, he was on a 30-day leave in February, and we brought him back to the base on March 11th. And he called me on March 13th that he was moving off the base that Wednesday, that next day.
Mm-hmm.
So he moved off the base on the 13th in with another soldier. They went out to dinner. They went to work on Thursday. They went back to the apartment. March 15th, they decided they were going out to dinner and going to the mall. And on the way home, the roommate wanted to go tanning, and Patrick says he wasn't going to tan, so he was going to walk home, which would have only been a 10 or 15-minute walk back to the apartment. In the meantime, he must have changed his mind and stopped in the bar. He met a friend from school that he hadn't seen in, well, since he graduated, and I guess they talked till about 12:30, 1 o'clock that Friday morning, the 16th, and Patrick walked out the door at the bar, and nobody's seen or heard from him since. On March 19th, I got a call from Fort Drum and wanted to know if I've seen or heard from Patrick. I go, no, because the last time I knew, he was, that Friday, he was going to Syracuse with his father for the weekend.
Okay.
So I just assumed that he was with his father. Then on March 20th, I got a call from the Watertown Police, and they wanted me to come down and fill out a missing person report, because Fort Drum had went down there and reported him missing.
Okay.
So I went down there and did that, and Fort Drum was supposed to be investigating, and they didn't seem to find anything out. All they said was he was AWOL. They kept telling me he was AWOL.
Okay.
And I said, no, he's not AWOL. I know he's not AWOL, because he was supposed to go on this weekend with his father, and he was looking forward to that since the day he came back from Afghanistan. He was talking about it. And in fact, he had talked to his father that Thursday night about 5 or 5:30 and made arrangements that his father and his girlfriend were going to pick him up that Friday morning, but he was supposed to call them Friday to see what time they were going to pick him up. So I just figured that they had picked him up and he had gone to Syracuse that weekend.
Okay.
And then on September 16th, after 6 months to the day he became missing, they found his remains in a hayfield. And
how were they?
I got a call.
I'm sorry to interrupt, Judith. How were they to? How did they determine that it was Patrick?
He still had his Army ID card in his pocket.
Okay.
He had his bank card in his pocket with his name on it, because he had just gone to the ATM machine while they were shopping.
Okay.
And but they also did DNA, but he had his name right in his pocket.
Okay. Now, when you had mentioned earlier that Patrick was going to be going to Washington, I believe, and getting a promotion, did it sound to you the last time that you talked to him that he was looking forward to this, that it was he was going to make the Army his career?
Mm-hmm. Yes, he was real excited about going. Yeah, in fact, he was supposed to leave in June, and he was excited about it.
Did Patrick have a girlfriend? Was he living with anyone?
No, he more or less played field.
Okay.
He didn't have no special girlfriend.
Okay. And I just want to remind the listeners to check out the webpage at www.patrickrust.com, PatrickRust.com. And if you have any information on how to get some answers in this case, there is a tip line at 315-629-9340. Now, you had mentioned, Judith, that the Army, had they told you that they were going to investigate? We'll get into the police in a minute. But was there a military investigation as to your son's disappearance and death?
I don't really believe they thought anything had happened to him. They thought that he was AWOL. They did a lot of looking here and looking there for him, checking bus stations and stuff. And I kept telling him, it's not like Patrick. Patrick, you know, would not do that. He would not just disappear like that without calling anybody. You know, especially the next day, calling his father to say, what time are you going to pick me up? You know, that's not like him. But they just would not believe that anything happened to him until the day that they found his remains.
Now, the police have conducted an investigation. What have they told you?
they claim that they got exhausted on any leads, and the case is inactive.
They say the case is inactive.
Inactive.
What do they mean by that?
It's there's no more leads. So they can't do anything on it unless they come up with some other leads. And we had, in March, we had set up a tip line. And we got a couple calls on it. And one of them was quite interesting, I thought. And we called them and told them that we had this tip line with these calls, and if they would come over and listen to them. And they have never come over to listen to them.
What were the tips?
And that was back in April we had called them.
What were the tips that you received?
Well,
If you feel comfortable in sharing them.
No, I'm not going to say too much about them.
Okay.
But, there was a tip from a girl that had known somebody that had known Patrick.
Okay.
And there was another one. There wasn't really anything, but it was a Fort Drum number. And a bunch of guys were talking in the background.
Okay.
And the police could have found out whose number that was and who was trying to call and what it was all about, I would think.
Now, I've read some information, and maybe you can comment on it, maybe you can't, that there was another body found in the vicinity of another young person.
Mm-hmm. That was a lady that was missing for about 12 years. And her body was found the Saturday, and Patrick's was found on a Sunday.
Had the police told you, or have you found out anything from anyone at the Clueless Bar as to Patrick's state of mind, I guess, when he was there?
I guess they said that Patrick had a lot to drink, and they did cut him off about 12 o'clock, a little after 12. They cut him off from drinking because they thought he had too much to drink.
Right.
So then he just left and walked out the door.
Okay. Did Patrick suffer from any medical conditions, epilepsy, anything he was taking medication for?
Nope, he wasn't.
Was Patrick having problems with anyone? Sometimes those in uniform or those in the military, sadly, today are chastised by some people, no matter what they...
He was out that Tuesday night before he became missing.
Uh-huh.
He had called some girl and was talking to her on the way back to the base, that saying he was at a bar and some guy just threatened to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time he was in a taxi cab on the way to the base, and there was nothing else said about that, you know, who the person was, and he never got in a fight because the police went around and asked if he had been in a fight that Tuesday night at a bar, if there was any fights, and they said no. So we never found out anything else about it, just what he had told this girl, and that's all he told her.
Law enforcement have considered the case inactive, Judith, and as I'm assuming, just like other family members that I've interviewed over the years, you're not letting this case go. What are you and your family doing to try and determine how and why Patrick died?
No, we're not letting it go. In May, I met with a Denny Griffin from Kronenweyer. And after working with him, we've got more help from Fort Drum. Fort Drum gave me another meeting. We met with them in August, and they decided that they would look at the case again.
Okay.
And they agreed that they'd look at the case, and they would talk to this Bill Sullivan, an investigator that's working on the case now.
Right. And have you been informed of any leads or updates, or is that something you don't want to talk about right now?
I haven't heard anything.
Now, I understand even a psychic has been consulted.
Yeah, well, and back in June, when it first happened, we first found him. we had a psychic that was working right around here with us, and then we worked with a Sally Henning. She's a well-known psychic from California, and we worked with a Phil Jordan, and the police had no idea where to go look for him. He walked out the door, and they had no idea where to look for him. So we just got hold of psychics and let them give us some directions of where he might be, what he was near, and we went looking ourselves. But we never did, you know, find him. It was, he got found, a guy was haying his field.
Okay.
And he come across something which he thought was a deer, and he went by him, and he came back, and it had been the remains of Patrick.
And Patrick was laid...
Oh, in a hayfield.
Yeah. Patrick was laid to rest at Arlington?
Yes, he was.
Well...
Yeah.
I would like to end our interview, and again, just remind the listeners, if you're listening live or you're listening to the replay later on, the website to check out for this is www.patrickruss.com, and there's a tip line set up at area code 315-629-9340. It's important that you check out this webpage. And again, with your permission, Judith, I'd like to just share a little from the website one more time. It says, "Please, Central New Yorkers, help us find out what happened to Patrick. He went to battle for us. Now we need to explain to his family how he died. They deserve answers. Don't we owe them that much?" And I think definitely people do. The law enforcement, the military, and anyone out there with information, this case cannot be let go. It has to be followed up, and hopefully we can get some answers for you. Judith, I'll give you the last word.
We also have a post office box if they want to send anonymous letters.
Okay, could you share that?
It's P.O. Box 55, Hillsboro, New York.
And the zip is
13645.
So that's P.O. Box 55, Hillsboro, New York, 13645. And again, the tip line.
And they can send anonymous letters if they know anything at all.
Any little bit of information will help.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And I wanted to say, too, when I talked to CrimeWire and Danny Griffin, I've got to meet a lot of real nice people that are helping out, too. And this, I don't have a computer. And this lady that I had met through Denny is the one that's got all this computer set up for me and all. So there's a lot of people out there that's helping now that we didn't know where to go to, you know, when this first happened.
Well, we're one big family out here, Judith, and I know that lady you're talking about, and she's never one to step forward and claim any...
she is great.
She's fantastic, and she's not...
Yes, she is. Wonderful person.
Yeah, no, Cherry is top-notch. She and her family, she's gone through her own personal hell with problems mm-hmm. with her daughter, and I'm sure everyone out here wishes you the best, and again, we send our condolences to you in the loss of your son, and hopefully we'll get some answers. Thank you, Judith.
Thank you.
Take care.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Thanks again for having me on.